You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam,
Nisiaya, Anthasiakuya, Talitin, Homasqueam, Mustail. All right. Hello, listeners. This is Randy, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. And you all know what time it is. It's time for Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. Super excited for this episode. I have a very special guest. But before we get to that, I'm going to give you the whole spiel once again. So this is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. It is a book club coming to you every 2 weeks to the airwaves of 101.9 FM. And you can always contact me, and please do, with your thoughts on the book, and I will read them out on the show. You can email me at dogearedbookclubradio@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Instagram at dogearedradiobookclub. So now, without further ado, I am so excited to announce my guest. So in studio today, I have Amanda from the Instagram account Cracking Spines. How are you today?
I'm so good. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
That's awesome. I am super excited too. And yeah, I think this book is going to be good.
It was really good.
Yeah. I remarked when you came in the station and I said, I think this book is perfect for Valentine's Day because, as you all know, it's Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to all the listeners. Okay. So now you're probably like, oh, like, who is this person? Why am I so excited? Well, I'm so excited because I feel like I have a celebrity in the station. So Amanda actually reached out to me. I think it was back in the fall sometime. I don't know when.
It was. I can't remember the exact date, but I caught your show. You were talking about Katie Roberts' book,
yeah.
The one that we were just talking about.
Dragon's Bride. Yeah.
And I was in the car with my partner who put the station on, and I was like, oh my God, it's like a book radio show. That's so cool. But like, I doubt they'll talk about like books that I read. And then you started talking about Dragon's Bride. I was like, I read that book. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. A radio show that discusses like romance. I've never seen that before. So I sent you a message and I told you how cool I thought your show was. So I feel like I'm here with a celebrity. So
yeah, we're both humble.
Yes.
Which is great.
Mutual fangirling right now.
Yeah, for sure. I was so excited to get that message that like someone was listening, because I just like talk on this show thinking no one's listening. And I know people listen, but at the same time, it makes it easier if I pretend no one's listening.
I'm trying to do right now.
Yeah, just don't think about it. We're all good. We're all here to have fun. Okay, so before we get into the book, I do just want to take a moment for you to introduce yourself. So as I mentioned, you have this Instagram account. A bookstagram account,
yes,
if you will.
Bookstagram, if you will.
At Cracking Spines. So I'm very curious, when did you start this account?
I started this account a little over a year ago. So I was a big reader when I was growing up, but I took a long hiatus off of reading. And then, like a lot of people during the pandemic, I picked up reading again. Specifically, I fell in love with like fantasy and romance, and I discovered that there's this entire community on Instagram, specifically like mostly women, that read romance and talk about it and share recommendations and share reviews. And I was like, oh, this is so cool. So I joined, and the rest is history.
That's awesome. I support that. I am much too scared to give my opinions with my face attached. I like the radio because I can just like say things about these books and it feels a lot less vulnerable. That's awesome. Okay, so you mentioned that you're a big romance reader, which I love.
Yes.
I love romance.
Mm-hmm.
I love all kinds of romance. Everywhere from mafia to monster,
yes,
to like the most sappy small town. Yeah, we're talking all of them. But you have to have a favorite one. So if you had to pick favorite trope, genre, whatever you want to give me, that like niche thing that gets you every time when you pick up a romance novel with it.
That's an evil question because I love all, it's literally the only genre I read, like all romance, all the subgenres. If you asked me on a different day, it might be different, but I feel like I'm in, like, right now I'm in my small town era.
Okay.
So that would be, like, the trope of choice if I was, like, stuck with something for the rest of my life. Like, probably small town blue collar book boyfriends for me.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We love the farmers. We love the hardworking men, you know.
Yeah. As someone who's, like, aspiring to be a small-town lesbian farmer in their future,
yes,
I support that. Mm-hmm. And I would love to have, you know, pick up. That's my dream, to, like, go home to my small. I know this will never happen because I live in a dry county, but I would love to go home for winter break and, like, stroll into a bar.
Yes.
And pick up a beautiful woman. Yes. That's, like, my dream.
Yes.
Okay, that's awesome. So this to me is maybe more of an important question, and I appreciate you going along with the trope question because I know that is hard.
It's tough.
It's tough. Yeah, it's like your favorite song. Like, it's going to change tomorrow.
Exactly.
But, you know, I just wanted today. That's great. February 14, 2023. You're living small for the town small town era. Romance. I love it. But how do you feel about the miscommunication trope?
It's a no for me. The miscommunication is a no for me. I feel like if I'm reading 350 pages and the conflict can be resolved in two,
mm-hmm.
Then I'm out. Like, it's very frustrating for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fair. I think the point I'm at is, like, sometimes I'm so desperate for drama that I will take it. I'll take it because, like, I just want, like, the most nonsensical. Like, that's to me what's so entertaining about it, because you're just, like, the two dumbest people to ever live that you just can't talk to each other. So sometimes it's, like, weirdly satisfying. It's like when I watch The Vampire Diaries. It's not good.
Oh, I love that
but
show.
But it's, like, drama. Just, like, so much drama.
Yes.
That sometimes if that's what I'm looking for, I'll take it, because it's, like, I wanted a brownie, but instead you gave me a chocolate cookie, and it's like, okay, fine. Like, it's somewhat.
Yeah, I like that point of view.
Mm-hmm. But I get it. And especially if it's like the whole book, I don't mind if it, like, comes in towards, like, the end or, like, the middle. Like, I think that's different too. But if it's, like, from the start, you just, like, don't talk to each other. Like, it's just like, okay, yeah, you're clearly not adults anymore.
For me, it's like, if it's the main conflict, like, if the main conflict could have been resolved with one conversation, like, then, like, don't get me wrong, I love angst, like, Vampire Diaries, I love the angst, but mm-hmm. it's like, if I could have solved the entire problem of the book with one conversation, then
that's fair,
then I'm pissed.
that's fair. Yeah, you know, I'll give it to you. I give it to all my guests, because I've never had someone come on the show and been like, yeah, I'm here for the miscommunication. I don't think anyone is. And that's why I have to ask everyone, because I feel like it's one of those universal truths that, like, none of us would pick miscommunication trope for our favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it's like almost up there. I think it's worse than, like, surprise pregnancy trope. So for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, also another one that gets me, because sometimes when I just want that, like, stupid drama, I will take the surprise pregnancy. Because I think men act like buffoons in those books. And, like, they're not even romantic. Like, you're so dumb. Like,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, we're not going to get into that. Don't worry. okay. So I feel like we should get into the book now.
Okay.
But thank you for answering all my questions. I was, like, dying to ask. And I was, like, trying not to ask you these questions every time I talked to you before. Because I was like, oh, no, we have to talk about this on air. And so here we are. And I now have all my questions answered. Okay, so the book we are talking today is Marrying Mr. Wrong by Claire Kingsley, a just fantastic book for Valentine's Day. I have to say, this is, like, one of the most romantic books I've read recently.
It was perfection.
Yeah, which makes sense, because recently I've been in my historical Western monster. I just keep going between the two, which mm-hmm. is, like, I feel like I'm going between two different worlds. And they're both good, don't get me wrong, but they are not the most romantic books you read. They're much more heavy on the darkness sometimes.
Yes, than on that's the lightness. True.
Okay, so for all of you that listen to the show, you know the first segment that we do is I read the book, like, the back of the book, if you have the physical copy. But basically, the description that you get when you buy the book, and we decide if it's accurate or not. We decide if it's a good description. So this one is hilarious, and as always, I did not practice reading it before I read it on air, which is just, I should really start doing that. I don't know why. I think it's because it makes it funnier when I just, like, stumble through it, because I cannot read things that are right in front of me. But here we go. So, listeners, this is the back of the book for Marrying Mr. Wrong. All right. I never should have gone commando in that dress. Strong start, I will just say that. I'm almost positive the rest of it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been dangling off a hotel balcony with my lady parts in the breeze. And of course, the one person to witness my mortification had to be him. Camden Cox. Sure, today he's gorgeous and wealthy and fine. I can admit he has a great sense of humor, but once upon a time, he was the boy who loved to make my life miserable. He no longer pulls my pigtails, but I know his type. He wants one thing and one thing only. A chance to get into my pants. I added that it's actually a chance to get in my pants, but let's just say into my pants is better. Nope, not happening. Not even with that sexy southern drawl. But I'm Sophie Abbott, and if there's one thing I'm good at, it's making a mess. Only this isn't just a mess, it's a disaster, a Sophie disaster. Because after a wild night in Vegas, I wake up naked in his hotel room, and I'm pretty sure we got married. All right, I feel like that is just like one of the most entertaining like book descriptions I've read recently.
It was so much fun just hearing you read that. I'm like sitting here trying not to.
Yeah.
Laugh really hard.
Yeah, so the question now is, like, is this accurate? Like, is this the book that we read?
It is. Mm-hmm. It is the book that we read. Like, I think it's accurate, but also I don't think there was, like, that much time being spent on the fact that he was, like, trying to get into her pants. Because I swear to God, he was gone for her by chapter two, so.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah. And I think also he, like, I feel the description focuses so much on the fact that they knew each other as kids, whereas, like, that's not that big of an issue, like a part of the plot. Like, they even like bring it up at the end, which is weird. Like, I don't know, it feels like they're trying to add this like added layer, but it doesn't really like go into the fact that they like were childhood friends. Yes. Or anything. Like,
yeah,
they're like, oh, he teased me and pulled my hair.
Yeah. And they make it sound like a bigger deal than it actually was. But I have thoughts about that like past relationship, and
yeah,
I don't know if you want to get to it now or later, but
oh yeah, we can get into it later. But yeah, I think overall it's like, I think it's a good description because it's, like, it's engaging and it, like, draws your attention to it. Mm-hmm. And I think it also, like, highlights the main point, which, like, Sophie's quirky. Sophie's weird.
Totally.
Sophie's, like, she's offbeat. Mm-hmm. She trips and falls.
Totally. Constantly.
Yeah, constantly.
Constantly and, tripping, like, and constantly falling.
Yeah, she makes a mess. Like, she's not like other girls. I added that part, but I truly, this book just screams that sometimes.
I think the blurb also captures, like, the humor pretty well.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty, like, it's funny. Like, it was, like, pretty mm-hmm. funny, and I think that blurb, like, captured that it's, like, you don't take this book seriously, you just have fun reading it, which I did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is, it's, like, a purely fun read, and I think, yeah. I think, it captures the characters, and I think it, and also the plot, you know, mm-hmm. like, it's a married in Vegas, a mm-hmm. drunk married in Vegas, and then they stay together for convenience, they fall in love, boom. Yeah. That's, and we all knew what it was going in, and I'm not mad about it.
And I enjoyed every second of it.
If I didn't know what it was, I wouldn't have read it.
Like, that's why I read romances, because I know there's going to be a happy ending.
Yeah, why else would you not? I love when romance books, it took me so long to realize, like, in a romance description, it'll say, like, H-E-A. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, it took me, for some reason I just like didn't put it together, but then after I realized what it meant, I was like, wait, why would it not be though? Like, that's a lie to me. If it doesn't have that, it's not a romance novel,
it's fiction. If it doesn't have an HEA, it's general fiction.
There you go.
That's my firm stance.
That's really differentiation. Yeah. Yeah, you're like, that's how I tell.
It is, that's how I tell. If it doesn't have an HEA, it's not a romance, it's just fiction.
That's fair. Okay, awesome. So the next thing I usually like to know is, like, general reactions. You gave that kind of already. You said, like, it's a fun, lighthearted read. Like,
very
you
fun.
Enjoyed reading it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. But one thing I didn't counter, because I read this book, I have no idea how long ago I read this book, but I've read it before. That's the point. Mm-hmm. So when I was rereading it, I have to admit, it took me longer to get into it because I was very annoyed with Sophie.
Yes.
Like, it was like, one of the notes that I made, so I'm pretty sure the first time I read it, I rated it 5 stars. Because it was just like, by the end of it, I was like, this is so cute, I could just eat it up. But the second time I was like laying, and like I did start reading it last night, so it's my own fault. But it's a quick read.
It is.
But I was like, I was dying. I was like, I hate this person so much. Like, I get it. You're quirky. You're different. Like, you're supposed to be relatable, like, you know, you're funny. And I think just because at the beginning of the book, it's laid on so thick.
Yes.
That it, like, it took me to, like, a quarter in where I finally, like, settled into the characters. And then I, like, got into the plot. And I was like, oh, I remember why I like this book.
Right.
So I still came out of it being like, oh, this is, like, super romantic. This is adorable. Like, it's a cute little read. But I have to say that second time around, and I think also, like, I mentioned this before we came in the studio, like, the mood I was in, I think I was in a not very forgiving mood. So it was kind of just like, it's like if I tried to watch a rom-com at that moment, exactly. I would have been a little, like, annoyed because I've been,
like...
Your mood
will, like, heavily influence how you feel about the characters and the story.
Yeah.
And I feel like my experience was, like, kind of in between your first and your second experience. Like, I had the same thoughts about Sophie. I was like, how many more times is this girl going to trip and fall? And, like... but I still, like... I did like her. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like... Something that rom-coms don't often do well is, like, making mature female main characters. Like, they're often very, like, childish in public, yeah. Like, traditionally published rom-coms. So I did appreciate that she was, like, an adult woman. Like, she wasn't, like, so quirky that she was immature. But yeah. It was laid on super thick. It was, like, every single chapter she's going to fall over something.
Yeah. Or, like, trip. Or she gets her nose broken yeah. by, like, a tray. What? Or, like...
Since when is being clumsy, like, the quirkiest yeah. trait to well, have in a in a romance novel?
Yeah. Well, we were talking about this in, like, traditional rom-coms at the station when we were... Because last week was Fun Drive, so we were watching rom-coms a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And... We were talking about this, that, like, that seems to be the one thing that they use to, like, show that she's not perfect. So they'll be like, oh, she's obviously conventionally attractive. She has this beautiful apartment. She has this awesome job. But she's clumsy.
Like, it's which such, makes like, her so endearing.
Yeah. So it's, like, a way to make it, like, more relatable and more endearing. But, yeah, I totally agree. Like, I feel like, again, like, it took me, like, a quarter in to actually, like, get to interact. And I think also, like, after the wedding, when you, like, get to see Sophie's mm-hmm. character, then I was kind of like, oh, I do yeah. like her. I think just, like, leading up to that, I was like, okay, we get it. Like, you're like...
She's clumsy.
Yeah. But I think it also had to do with the writing. Some of the writing felt, like, quite repetitive because mm-hmm. they would, like, say what she's doing and then she did it. And I was like, just let her do it. Like,
show us. Don't tell us.
Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So do you have any other thoughts, like, general reactions, or should we go into, like, specifics?
Besides that, like, yeah, I mean, I thought it was really super entertaining. I liked it. I think for a rom-com, it, like, did what it was supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even better than some of, like, a lot of, like, the traditional rom-coms, like,
oh, yeah.
traditionally published rom-coms that I've read. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we covered it.
For sure. Okay, so let's talk about the characters now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Sophia, I don't know what her name is, and I don't care at this
point.
One
of those.
It doesn't matter.
I think she said both of them in the actual book, so.
Yeah, well, she says, there's, like, the part in the bar where she tells Dominic that her name is Sophia, and then she's like, why do I keep giving men my legal name?
Oh, yes, that's right. So her legal name is yeah. Sophia. She goes by Sophie.
Mm-hmm. So that's fun. That's yeah. fun. I gave up.
Not confusing at all.
I gave up, like, halfway through the book, and I was like, it doesn't matter what her name is. Like, they're basically the same name.
Yeah.
Like, let's just establish
that
right
off the bat.
Yeah. But yeah. So we talked about this a bit, that, like, we liked her, but it was, like, laid on pretty thick.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that was, like, my main note, that it was, like, it was such a, like, rom-com cliche mm-hmm. that, like, they kept just, like, laying on, but. It did feel like what you said, like, endearing in a way. And also, like, obviously in a book, it's easier to, like, get into a character's head. So it makes them, you know, I feel like if Sophie was a movie character, I probably wouldn't have liked her as much because we might not have gotten, like, the inner dialogue.
Yeah.
So I feel like it would have been harder to, like, judge her just, like, strictly based off, like, her actions.
Yeah.
I mean, she does have a lot of good actions, right? Like, she agrees to stay in the marriage because she wants to... get her dad a house. Mm-hmm. Like, that's her deal, mm-hmm. right? Which is, like,
I like that she pitched, like, that.
Yeah, yeah. It's, like, super cute. Like, she's not... I mean, I think it's a lie. Like, in this economy, come on. Who are you kidding? Like, you gotta ask for $500,000. If this man is so rich, he can fly to Vegas for a half-hour meeting. Who are you kidding?
Yeah.
Who are you kidding? But no, I did think that was, like, really cute. Yeah, and I also really liked her relationship with her father. I feel like that was, like, part of it that made me like her more. I feel like he was, like, a really cute character. And we can get into this later with, like, side characters, but I really like kind of the gender swapping of, like, gender, like, gendered character tropes that the author did with, the like, Hamden's mom versus the dad. Like, the dad is, like, this, like, grandma. Like, he's, like, trying to set his daughter up with, like, all of these guys.
Yes, I did like
that. And he does, like, crossword puzzles, and he's, like, so sweet. And then the mom just, like, lives on a golf course and goes golfing every day. Like, I don't
also
know.
Also loved the mom, though.
Yeah.
Was a big fan of her.
I feel like they were both, like, really, like, refreshing characters.
I agree.
They didn't feel, like, repetitive, and I, like, they both had, like, you know, strong relationships with their kids. But yeah, and as someone, like, I'm so close with my dad that, like, I really thought that was just, like, a really good dynamic for a book. But not in a way that's, like, the typical, like, overbearing father, like, controlling, like, in a very, like, lighthearted, sweet way.
Yeah, like, he was just so supportive. Like, he just wanted her to be happy and, like, have a partner and, like, and I loved, like, that she was not, like, his caregiver, but, like, she, like, really cared about him and, like, cook for him and take him out for dinners and stuff. Like, they just had a really sweet dynamic. I liked them a lot.
Yeah. I thought they were really cute.
Yeah.
And then the last thing I had is, oh, this is, like, a really weird note, especially in my list. I wrote that, like, she's supposed to be, like, insecure and doesn't think that Cox will love her. Which, like, I feel like that just goes in the beginning, like, the idea that, like, she's not perfect and, like,
Yeah.
But I feel like that, to me, I, like, I get why that exists in a romance novel, because that's, like, part of the tension, especially in, like, an accidental marriage book. Like, because you're already married, so you have to have, like, some sort of tension that, like, makes it, like, oh, you're not in a perfect relationship because there's, like, all of these insecurities, like, oh, you got drunkenly married, like, you don't feel, like, you don't know how the other person feels because, like, you know, the typical trope of, like, you're too scared to tell each other. Right. So you're both, like, harboring this love, but you don't tell each other. So that wasn't necessarily, like, I didn't write that as a bad note. I think it's just, like, a character note.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's, like, part of what we were talking about that makes her relatable, too.
Yeah.
Is, like, who doesn't, like, have some insecurity? Yeah. And you've got, like, this super hot, like, billionaire man that is now, you're now married to. Like, maybe, might be a little bit insecure. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah, do you have any other additional notes on Sophie?
I did have one note about how she, like, would call Cox on his crap. Like, she, there's this one scene where he, like, interrupts a lunch with her, like, friends. Do you remember that scene when he, like, comes in and he's, like, super rude at her lunch? And she, like, totally called him on it, like, didn't let him get away with it. And I think that made me like her a lot more as well. Just because she, like, yeah, she just didn't let him get away with, like, being, like, I don't know, like a caveman.
Alpha man.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she even, like, makes a joke about, like, we're not going to start on all this, like, alpha BS.
Yeah.
So
and
I feel
like that.
Yeah. I like that, too. Yeah. I think, and that, I think that goes into what you were saying, like, she has, like, this, like, quirkiness, relatableness, but she's still mature. Like, she's still an adult and she's still individual. So, and I think that was, like, a good way to represent that. Like, she didn't just, like, fall at this man's feet.
Totally.
You know, like, she stood up to him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to Cox.
Okay.
So my only note that I have, which I am going to call him that, his name is Camden, but no one calls him Camden.
No.
So we're not going to.
No, everyone calls him Cox in the book, so he's Cox.
The only note that I have, and I can't even say it on air, but is that he would be an a-hole in real life. That was, like, the note that I had. And we know that, right?
Yes,
because
absolutely.
Obviously we're reading romance novels because that's the only, like, good point that men exist in, is, like, when they're written by women and they're fictional on a page.
Yes.
But the reason I wrote that is because so many things that he does, like, in this scene where, like, in the beginning, in, like, the second chapter, when he's like, I'm Captain Cox, I get whatever I want. I was like, no, absolutely not. And then in the scene when, like, on their date, when they, like, go test drive those, like, fancy sports cars.
Yes.
I'm just like, no. Like, any, like, all of those qualities in a real life man.
I would hate them.
Media red flag.
Mm-mm.
Like, you would run away.
Do not take me to test out fancy
cars. Are you kidding? That is so obnoxious. It's
such, like, a showboat.
Yeah.
Like, flapping your money around.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But I feel like that's, like, actually a character shift that we get in Cox, which is what I liked in the book.
Yes.
Because that comes, like, the beginning, like, when he is being obnoxious, right? He's like, I'm Captain Cox. I get whatever I want. You know, I'm going to get her out of my system. Like, all of these things. Mm-hmm. You know, they test drive these, like, fancy cars. But then after that, you get, like, the, you know, he takes her on, like, the balcony. Or not the balcony. Like, they go on the rooftop picnic.
Yes.
And then, like, at the end, which I have this highlighted as, like, the most romantic thing, like when he fixes her mom's jewelry box.
Yeah,
like those
I loved
are
that.
Yeah, those are so sweet because it's not like just based around like I have a lot of money, I can do this. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't like, I don't know, like, yeah, everyone would love to have like a private jet to fly places, but like I feel like when it comes, you know, he used his like skills and like his abilities yeah. to like create a gift for her. Mm-hmm. That's so much more like heartfelt, and I feel like that's what changed. Because, like, towards the end of the book, you see him acting, like, a lot less, like, cocky, essentially,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, totally. And I think that's, like, part of what I love about, like, romances is, like, seeing the character development of the male main characters. They always, like, start out as kind of, like, cocky or they just, like, date a lot of women and they won't settle down.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, you know, as soon as they were married, he just wouldn't stop calling her his wife. And I made a note, like, you sure like calling her your wife or somebody who doesn't want to get married.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Like, yeah. And I think it's funny because, like, towards the end of the book, he keeps, like, saying, he's like, oh, we can't stay married. I can't be married. Like, I'm not the type to be married. And it's like, yes, you are.
Yeah.
You're literally married. You've been living with your wife for a month.
Literally in chapter 2, he said he's never felt so in awe by a woman before. And then by 60%, he's still saying that he's not the type to get married.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
Yeah. Which is like, I don't know. I feel like there's just like, I love reading. Because like a lot of people, I've actually had people say this to me, which is very annoying. But people were like, why do you read so many heterosexual novels for lesbians? I'm like, number one, because they're super entertaining. Because like there's always this level of like buffoonery that men do in romance novels, which is just like so entertaining.
Yes.
Because like that's the realistic part. Because like all men act a fool. Like they have no idea what's going on half of the time. And like
that's generous.
I feel like yeah. I'm being super generous. Half of the time.
Half the time.
But yeah, just like the way, but it's like in an endearing way where he's just like, I can't be married. And it's like you literally are living with your wife.
Yes.
You call her your wife.
Yes.
Like yeah.
I actually wrote down a really funny note that is like exemplifies that. And it's like in chapter 12, I just thought this was so funny, is like Sophie basically says, like, I'm not going to fall for his charm. Like, I know exactly what he's doing. And then literally chapter 13 in Cox's point of view, in Cox's point of view, he's like, oh, I've got Sophie exactly where I want her. Like, and they're on two totally different pages. He has no
yeah.
idea what's going on.
Yeah, actually. And I love that because that must be like chapter 13, because
yeah.
when he like takes her on the date and he thinks that she's going to go home with him.
Yes.
And they can sleep together. And then she's like, I want to go home. And then he's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
He's like, you don't want to just immediately sleep with me? And she's
what
like,
the?
No, I want to go home.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was like a big turning point for him where he like realized like, wait, like this is not just like,
she's not just any other girl.
Yeah. It's not like a conquest.
Yeah.
But then I'm kind of like, then like I try not to think too critically when I read rom-coms, but then my little brain goes, well, how does he treat other women then? It's like, no, that's in the rom-com world, you don't think about
no.
other women.
No.
Because you can't get into that.
You can't get into that or you'll hate all of the male main characters.
Yeah. Yeah, you'll just hate everyone.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, honestly, I feel like I liked him. He was
yeah.
an interesting character.
As soon as she said, like, he sounds like Matthew McConaughey, I couldn't get, like, young Matthew McConaughey out of my head. Like, that's what he looked like to me from then on.
Yeah.
And I'm curious what you thought of his nickname. Is he just always called her Sugar? What are your thoughts on nicknames?
I like nicknames.
Me too.
Except for, okay, the nickname Baby in certain cases. But, like, most of the time I'm like, no. But, like, Babe, I don't mind. But I think, like, creative nicknames are way more, like, entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And I think also, like, because they mention that he has, like, this slight southern drawl, like, he's from Texas, like, he, you know, he's this little, like, farm boy. I think it works so
mm-hmm.
well for him to call her Sugar.
Yeah.
And, like, I could picture it. And, like, it was endearing.
It was. It
yeah.
was cute. I liked it. I also like nicknames. For some reason, I seem to, like, prefer nicknames when they're in a different language, like, when the male
mm-hmm.
main character, like,
when they're Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. but I liked Sugar, like, simply because, like you said, he was like the Southern drawl, like it just worked for him. But something I thought was so funny that he would do all the time is in his like inner monologue, he would always like refer to her as his like sugar plum dumpling, like some like some like ridiculous iteration like that. And it made me laugh every time because he's like referring to her as like all of these like sweet little like pet names, and then like in the same breath being like, but I'm not one to get married or fall in love.
Yeah.
But I need to go see my sugar plum dumpling. Like, I just thought it was super funny. It made me laugh.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like his, like, the double POV, as much as I don't like first-person writing, I feel like I don't mind it, but I tend to, like, prefer third-person over it. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But it also depends. Like, this book, I thought it was fine because it had, like, the dual POV, and it was, like, I thought, but yeah, definitely his POV had to be in there because if I couldn't have read from his perspective, I definitely wouldn't have liked him as much as I did. Like, there's no way. And that's, like, part of the charm, though, because, like, I think it's so much more interesting when you're, especially in romance, and this is why people that don't like dual POV, I'll never understand it, because it's so much more interesting.
It's so much better.
Like, to get into these two characters' minds that are, like, as you said, like, they're so at odds with each other, they're on two different pages, and you're, like, watching it unfold, but you're getting to see it from, like, each perspective. I also love that the chapter after they wake up like drunkenly married is in Cox's perspective. I love that because it's usually in like the woman's perspective, which is good, but I feel like it was so much more like funnier.
It was super funny because it's like, yeah, you're right, like usually it's like in the women's POV they're like waking up in absolute horror,
yeah,
but like for him he was like so confused, like,
yeah,
why am I naked, why is there like a girl running around in a blanket outside my room,
yeah,
why is there a bra hanging off, like it was very funny.
Yeah, I feel like it added to the humor. All right, we're gonna take a very quick break, and when we get back we'll dive into maybe some plot points. Maybe that's what we'll go in next. So please stay tuned because this episode is going to get better.
Montreal indie art rockers Soons return to Vancouver on Saturday, February 18th, performing at the newly reopened Cobalt with special guests Laurel Meets the Obsolete. Tickets available now at f7entertainment.com. Legendary California ska punkers Mad Caddies are set to perform at the Rickshaw Theater on Friday, February 17th, with very special guests, local punk acts The Corpse, You Big Idiot, and The High Sides. Tickets available now at f7entertainment.com.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Taking all those cacti?
I need to put them near the radio.
How come?
They love to hear Everly's nature-based music on Dead Succulent Haunt every Thursday at 5 p.m. on CITR 101.9.
Oh, Dead Succulent Haunt? Where your plants can grow and you can mourn those you've lost?
Come on, plants, let's grow.
All right. Hello. Just kidding. I turned off my mic. I meant to turn off the other one. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you're still here after that ad break. This is Randy, and you're listening to Dog Eared Radio Book Club on CITR 101.9 FM. We are talking about the book Marrying Mr. Wrong by Claire Kingsley on this lovely Valentine's Day. So sunny earlier, and I think I'm going to cry tomorrow when I wake up and it's not going to be sunny. But before then, I am joined in studio by Amanda. Yeah, and we're having a lot of fun. Are you having fun?
We're having so much fun.
I'm glad. It's real fun. Okay, so we covered like reactions. We talked a little bit about the main characters. So now let's get into plot points. Okay, so this is like, I don't actually write this as plot points in my notes because I'm like, what is a plot? Who knows? It's up to interpretation. But the one thing that I did want to say is, wait, I'm reading my notes now and I'm confused. But, oh, the one thing I did want to say, so this is kind of going back and we did like mention this, but I wanted to build on this, like the like father-daughter relationship that we get between like Sophie and her father. I just find it super endearing. And I did write a note here because I mentioned earlier that it's kind of like a gendered swap, because I feel like a lot of times you get like the mom or the grandma character that's like trying to like set you up and get you to date and like pushing you. And like, I always find that a little bit annoying, like because it just does... Like, not that it necessarily rings super true, especially not in my own experience, but I know in some people's experience it does, because it's like, you know, your mom pushing you to get married, or like your grandma, like these traditional gender roles. But I feel like there was something about it that made it like not annoying at all when it was like her father, because it like, it felt very like, I don't know, like authentic as like a character. Like, I could actually like picture this like cute little man who does like this scene when they're in the diner and she gives him like the new crosswords and he just immediately starts doing them and he's got like a little pencil in his glasses. Like, oh, that was so cute.
I agree.
That was so adorable.
Yeah, I had like a very like vivid like vision of him as like this like very sweet little old man.
Yeah. So I feel like, yeah, not that I like immediately dislike, you know, like when you have a mom character, but I feel like it does tend to like annoy me after a while in a book, versus like I feel like this is like,
it's just like fresh.
Yeah, it
gives you, it's something different.
Fresh, that's a good word. Yeah. Something different.
So. Yeah, and I thought it was like really funny because you think about like every time like he had an electrician come over, it'd be like, hey, you're single? Like I just thought it was like a really good humorous
exactly,
part of the
yeah.
book. Like their relationship was really funny, and like, because he's just like such like a kind, like gentle, nice old man, like trying to set his daughter up. Like, it was just a fun dynamic. I really liked their relationship.
Yeah. It didn't like, and I like that it like wasn't, it did become like a serious plot point. Like, you know, there's always like the possibility like, oh, he's going to die or he's going to get sick. Like,
yeah.
I was glad that they didn't like use that plot point. Because, yeah, I think it was just like really awesome. And like, you know, we mentioned like she asked for the house for her father as like, you know, the payment for like keeping the marriage going. Yeah, like staying married. So I feel like, yeah, it was just, I don't know. And I think also from a personal perspective, like I am just like so, like it's me and my dad, like for immediate family. And like we're so close. Like we do so many of the same things, like just sitting together watching TV or like, you know, cooking dinner together. And so it's just like, I don't know. I think it is just like cute, because I think in a lot of rom-coms you'll definitely, they focus so much on like the mother-daughter relationship, so I think it was refreshing and done in like a good way to focus on like a mother-father, or oh my god,
father-daughter yes.
Thank you. Yeah.
I agree. I really liked their relationship, and like conversely I really liked Cox's relationship with his mother too. I thought like she had like some golden one-liners that I laughed out loud at.
Oh yeah.
So I thought they were both like great side characters, and great like side characters for parents too,
because
it made like, they were both really supportive of the marriage. They both kind of like wanted them to stay married.
Yeah,
neither of them were like, neither of them freaked out that they just like got married in Vegas.
Yeah.
Like, I thought it was very, like, sweet. I don't know. I liked that part of it.
Yeah. Which I also think, again, adds to, like, we're talking about adults. Like, I don't know. When I'm, like, reading, or, like, I watched this movie recently. I can't remember what it was called, but it has, like, the girl from Riverdale. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And she, like, there's, like, two different plot lines where, like, she either gets pregnant or she doesn't get pregnant.
Oh, yes. I remember that movie.
Yeah.
I did see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't do it. I was, like, literally dying watching it with my roommate. I was like, this is one of the worst movies I've seen. Anyways.
I enjoyed that movie. I watched it with my sister and we loved it.
Wow. Okay. It's a conversation for a different show.
Yeah.
But one of the things that just like got me is like how much the parents freaked out about it. Which I was like, these are like 22-year-olds. Like, I get you can like be concerned that your child's pregnant, but like,
they're not 16.
They're full adults, man. Yeah. Like, calm down.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was like the point that I wanted to get out.
Yes.
That like, so I feel like it was like cool that they just react to it very much in stride, because it's like, you like, they obviously showed that they cared for their children, but it's not like, you know, they're like 30-year-olds. Like, leave them alone.
Totally.
They can do what they want. If they want to get drunk and married, like, that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, yeah, like, yeah. So I feel like it showed like a respect and an acknowledgement of like, you know, your child's maturity, which mm-hmm. I super appreciate because mm-hmm. like authors sometimes so easily go into like the overbearing protective father trope, which I hate so much. So I like that this like absolutely didn't even go close to that.
Yeah. And like, just like on like a wider scale, as far as like rom-coms go, like in general, I just find them to be a lot of the time they can be like very immature or like, yeah. like they make they're adult characters, but they're acting like teenagers or yeah. like children, and same goes for the parents. So I just like appreciated that like everybody was an adult and they treated everyone like adults, and like that's the kind of rom-com that I can get behind.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, I don't want to like be watching this 30-year-old but be picturing, because that's also in books, like if you don't actually make it clear they're an adult, like I might accidentally picture like, oh, this is like a child, and yeah, this like, is making me uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like, I exactly don't like this. Like, you're acting like you're 16, so
yeah stop doing that.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah. So I thought that was really good. And then, so you actually gestured towards that you have comments on this about like the role that their childhood weird thing.
I do have a comment on this.
So please give me that comment.
Okay. So my thought on this was like, okay, it was like brought up multiple times that he used to like pull her pigtails, and like he did eventually apologize about like pulling her pigtails yeah. or like, but like he was doing it because he had a crush on her or something. Yeah. But when she first described, like, this torment, she said that he would chase her around and be calling her Miss Piggy.
Yeah.
And, like, this female main character is a plus-size character. And so I just, like, thought that there should be more to atone for here. Like, you were running around calling this, like, you know, chubby child Miss Piggy growing up.
Yeah.
And I just, like, they draw attention to the fact that she's a plus-size character. It would have been nice for him to, like, acknowledge it. I don't know. They just, like, swept it under the rug. Like, pulling your pigtails is one thing, but, like, calling somebody Miss Piggy, I feel like.
Yeah, and they said that, like, he used to, like, pull his nose up and go, oink, oink.
Yeah, like it, all yeah. this stuff is, like, super offensive.
Yeah,
and
it is.
I wanted him to, like, I love a good begging scene. Like, oh, yeah. I really wanted him to, like, beg for forgiveness a little more.
Yeah.
And she let him go a little bit too easily.
Yeah. So I feel, yeah, it was weird because I, like, at first when I introduced it, it was like, oh, like, you know, he, like, Anne of Green Gables, mm-hmm. right? Like, like, when you, like, tug on the pigtails or whatever.
Yes.
But then they, like, moved it into, like, oh, he literally fat shamed her as a child.
Yes.
And then they just, like,
about.
Immediately went back into, like, oh, he just liked her and he had a rough time at home, so he pulled her pigtails. And I was like, okay, which one is it?
Yeah.
Like, did he bully her for being fat, or did he, like, tease her? Like,
and are we just gonna like sweep that under the rug because he was a troubled kid?
Yeah, like, and he was like, boys will be boys, you know, he liked her.
No, so we don't like that.
Yeah, so I feel like it kind of just like it felt so unnecessary. I think that's the point I was at, where it's like, this feels really unnecessary, and
yeah.
I don't know what I'm supposed to get out of this. Like,
and because it didn't even like my thoughts when she first brought up the fact that like he would call her Miss Piggy and oink at her and all that stuff, like my thought was that like that would kind of like come to be part of the conflict that
yeah.
ended up, like there's always a like breakup, the 70% breakup or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it just like you said, like there was almost no point to it. Like it really just got swept under the rug. Like they literally could have just been neighbors that lived next to each other that like looked at each other from afar and had crushes on each other or something, and it would have made no difference to the plot.
Yeah, I actually honestly I feel like that would have been better because
yeah.
it would have still like acknowledged that they knew each other,
mm-hmm.
but it wouldn't have added this like weird bullying teasing element
yeah.
that like just like because it also just like felt weird. Like he was like, oh, I need to apologize, and I was like, but why though? Like you don't do you feel remorse for it? Like you're already sleeping with her, like she obviously likes you.
Yeah.
Like I like it felt weird to like bring it up, and especially
yeah.
like it was like this weird, it felt so random because I think it was after she meets his mom. Mm-hmm. I think that's when it was,
I think you're
and
right.
they like go back and then they have that scene, and then I think is that when Althea shows, I don't know, honestly that was kind of a blur, I have no idea what happened.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so I feel like it just, like, felt really forced as
mm-hmm.
it was trying to, like, build too much, like, you know, like, a backstory
yeah.
that, like, didn't actually do anything for me.
Well,
other
it,
than,
like,
sorry.
You go ahead.
I was just going to say, other than the fact when she's like, he's like, oh, I really liked you. And she's like, well, I hated you.
Yeah.
I
was
like,
that part
that's
was
amazing.
Funny. That part was funny. And that's what I was going to say. I was like, I think it's, like, maybe trying to build up, like, that enemies to lovers almost
yeah.
situation. But it was so forced, like you said, that it
yeah.
just like really didn't give that vibe, especially because she didn't even really care about it anymore, so it just felt like very unnecessary.
Yeah. Also, this is like sort of related to what you're saying. This quote, I'm going to read it. I think I can read it on the air. It's fine. If you're a child, just don't listen or don't ask your parents what this means because I don't want them to explain it. But when this is Cox. I think it's during his POV. So this is when he realizes who Sophie is. He like recalls and he says this, quote, "It has to be," and explains everything. "The first girl who'd ever given me a boner was Sophia Abbott, and now look at her." And that was like by and far the weirdest line I read in this book, and I was like, "What?"
I also highlighted that one.
Like
that
line. It's just so random. I was like, "Why did?" But I feel like, so I think that's maybe why the author wanted to do it, so that he could like recall this girl and like reflect on like how much he liked her as a kid. But then it just, like, felt weird because there wasn't, like, a weird, like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to do that, we either need flashbacks to when they were children to, like, see how they interact. If you're actually going to build upon that, like, childhood enemies to adult lovers, like, plot line or whatever. But I don't know. It felt like it were just, like, random sprinkles of a backstory, but they were never connected.
Yes, I agree. And it's, like, if she was, like, the first girl to give you a boner, it's like, why are you running around calling her fat then? Like, I just, it just didn't compute for me. I just didn't love the backstory part of it. Like, he could have, like, you know, watched her out of his window from afar or something, and then that could have been the first time he got a boner from her. Yeah. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like, it could have, like, again, if they didn't have that, like, weird teasing bullying element, if it was just like, oh, like, you know, I used to, like, doodle her name, and actually that would have been adorable.
That would have been cute
if he like would have like wrote like doodled her name, and then his friends found out, and then he had to like, I don't know, you know, and then pretend like, oh, I don't like her, like
it could have been more developed.
Could have been developed. So I feel like if the author would have just spent a little bit more time developing that, then it would have made sense. But the way it is now, it just felt like so forced to be like, these characters knew each other before, and like, you know, he liked, and it just,
and especially
like, brings
up she makes
things.
That such a large part of the blurb, too. Like, and it's Camden Cox, the bully from my past. Like, but then it didn't actually, like, result in anything in the actual book. Like, it wasn't part of the main plot.
Yeah, he's like, just like, oh, I'm sorry. And she's like, I forgive you.
Yeah.
I was like, what?
And then, like, the main plot, or, like, the, I guess, the mystery part of it with Althea was not even mentioned in the blurb at all. So I'm just like thinking back now, like maybe it wasn't a very accurate blurb.
I know. Yeah, it definitely, I think it was a good blurb because it didn't give away everything.
Yes.
Like, one of the things we've discussed a lot in this like show is that often romance novels give away the whole thing on the back of the book. So I feel like this book didn't do that. Like, which when I first started reading it, I didn't expect the whole like, you know, corporate sabotage. Although I did know that Athea was evil as soon as I met her. I was like, And then I was like, again, men just being aloof and not paying attention to what's going on. It's so obvious.
Like,
that
he worked
she
with
is
her for, what, 7 years or something? And he never knew that she was, like, a raging psycho?
Yeah, she's, like, vicious. Like, she, anyways, we'll get into that later. But, I don't know. For, like, the back of the book, I feel like, if it wouldn't have focused so much on the fact that he knew her, like, they knew each other when they were kids, it would have been a bit better. Because that, like, did not, like, I almost expected like a flashback book, right? Like a book with flashbacks to kids to like develop like interactions. And they had room, like there was some unnecessary scenes that they could have swapped for like flashbacks.
Yeah, I agree.
If they wanted to go that route.
And now thinking about it, like I'm wondering if part of that too was like a plot device to give Camden or Cox his like kind of like tortured backstory with his dad. Like I wonder, because like his character development kind of like centered on the fact that he had like this horrible father as well, so maybe that's the connection, but it just wasn't developed enough.
No.
I still hate it.
Still super unnecessary. I think that's like a valid point. Thanks for bringing that up.
I just thought of it now, but it took me that long to make that connection, so
that's fair. And I don't know. I feel like I feel like that's also kind of a lazy thing to be like, oh, I had a bad dad. Like, not to diminish the trauma of having, like, a parent who drinks and stuff. Like, I think that's, like, the hard part that, like, the line. Actually, this goes into another thing that I, like, made a note about. The plot device that they used of, like, her apartment getting broken in by, like, the guy looking for the other woman.
I forgot about that.
And then that, like, forces her to move in with him.
Right.
And, like, you know, that's how
forced proximity trope.
Yeah, and then of course they start getting it on every night. I made a note that, like, I don't know how I feel, because also it's not just this book. Like, this is used so often, especially in, like, mafia romance novels or, like, any sort of, like, darker romance novels. You'll get this. Like, it is, like, a, to get forced proximity. And I don't know how I feel, because it's so serious. Like, it's such a serious plot point that, like.
And it's almost, like, used as, like, a joke.
Yeah, like it's like, oh, it's your, like, apartment very glossed over. Like, you live in this, like, really crappy apartment. Also, this is another note I made, the fact, like, I love in rom, like, especially, like, billionaire, like, millionaire romance novels, whenever they describe the apartment she lives in, I'm like, that's probably the apartment I pay over $1,000 a month to live in Vancouver. Like, you're literally just describing a 50-year-old apartment building. Like, it's fine. It's literally fine.
And they're, like, describing it as, like, the slums.
Yeah,
like,
and I'm just like,
like, this, like, really ghetto slums, like, part of town.
They always use those terms, and I'm like, do you have any knowledge of, like, the world around you? Like, why are you using these super outdated terms?
Yeah.
Like, just don't. You're also, because you're, like, a white woman writing this book. Like, have perspective.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Anyways. But, yeah, so I feel like, so I don't know. I feel like that's just such a serious thing. Like, I've read books before where, like, her apartment floods or, like, something breaks. And I feel like I tend to like that more because I feel like it's a little less serious, you know? Like, it still offers the forced proximity, but it's not so, like, intense.
Like, if that's a traumatizing event, I would be traumatized. Like, the fact
she doesn't have to, like, go to therapy, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it doesn't, he, like, she got injured or something from, by him, or something happened, I can't remember. He was very, like, whoever broke into her apartment was there when she showed,
like, super
up
aggressive.
He was very aggressive. Her like, all of her things were broken. She had a bookshelf that was, like, pushed over, and all her personal belongings were broken. Like, that is a very traumatizing event, and it was very much like, don't worry, baby, come and move in with me and I'll handle this. And she's like, okay, and then that was it. Like, she was fine.
Yeah, I didn't like that. I think that's why I don't like it, because it was, like, so glossed over. Yeah. It wasn't, like, a... And it's different, like, if the character has, like, an abusive ex or, like, someone in their past, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, even the second time I was reading it, I expected it to be her ex-boyfriend. And I think it almost would have been better if it was, like, her ex-boyfriend that left her all with all of the debt. That
just,
like,
they brought up that plot point, too, again. That she had this, like, horrible ex. And that's, like, never, like, really, I don't know if it's developed in the first two books, because I know that they're, like, it's a character series.
That is true.
So I don't know if it's talked about previously.
I should admit that I did force you to read the third book in a series.
I did, yeah. They're standalone-ish.
They are standalone. Oh, yeah.
They're just, like, I think connected by a friend group. Yeah. Each book is a different.
Yeah, I think they're actually good standalones. Like, I don't feel like I didn't.
I don't feel like I missed out on anything unless they, like, described this, like, previous ex in a past book.
They might have, yeah. But yeah, so I feel like that might have, like, made more sense if it, like, if it was him looking for something, or which is what, even the second time around, that's what I expected it to be. And then it was, like, this random dude looking for his wife. And I was like, what? Yeah. Who is this man?
And then
man?
It's like, his actual wife was with another man in the apartment two doors over, like, or something. And she didn't even say, like, hey, I'm here, stop trashing this girl's apartment. Yeah. She just, like, hid.
Yeah, I was like, this is... Also, because then when she's like, she makes a comment, this is the second guy that's broken into my apartment. And I was like, what? Like, I'm sorry, what?
Why don't you have more than one lock?
Yeah, so I feel like that part, like, I think that what also annoyed me is, like, I feel like that made her seem less mature.
Yeah.
Like, it kind of, like, took away from this, like, maturity that they had tried to build up, and, like, made her seem, like, less of an adult. Because let's face it, like, any woman who lived, like, adult woman who lived alone, first of all, you're going to get one of them fancy little, like, extra lock things like, put around the deadbolt. Like, you'll most likely have a chain. Like, I know that if when I move out on my own, I'm going to make them install one of those little chain things.
Yeah.
Like, so it just, like, made it feel so, like you kind of, like, built her to be so independent and, like, so, you know, like, strong and, like, you know, cares for herself. And then at the same point, you, like, stripped all that away from, like, oh, this guy broke into my apartment. Mm-hmm. Let me go move in with this guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just live there. Like, and, like, rent-free, right? Like, there was no discussion of, like, oh, I want to pay my way. Which, like, not to say you should. He's a little billionaire. Yeah. Like, don't give him any money. But I feel like that would have been a way to, like, give her back some more independence, is, like, trying to, like...
Yeah, I think definitely, like, what you said, it like, took a little bit of her, like, power and independence away in, like, terms of where they're at in their relationship.
Yeah.
Like, a bit of an imbalance between them after that. And she just doesn't seem to, like, mind or care.
Yeah.
Like a lot of like the billionaire romances that like, which I cannot relate to, but a lot of like the female main characters are like, I can't accept your money. I won't let you pay for anything for me. Yeah. Can't relate personally.
Yeah.
But she wasn't like that at all. She was like, kind of like, yeah, I'll move in. No problem. I'll play house with you with my husband. I've gone for 2 days.
Yeah. So I feel like that kind of just like, yeah, I know why the author did it, but I'm kind of like, just make her apartment flood. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, or like condemn her building. Like, I don't know. Like, give us something else. Like, it felt so like, it was just such an, I think also because the book generally had like a lighthearted feel, and then all of a sudden, like, that's a pretty dark scene.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's something I read more in, like I said, like dark romance, mafia romance, like. And then in that, you just kind of take it because you're like, yeah.
This is like
Gotham City.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, every dark romance is, like, Gotham City. Yeah. So, like, it's fine.
Everyone's apartments are getting broken.
Yeah. We know. You all have trauma. You should all go to therapy. But, like, in this book, you're kind of, like, not in that world. So you're kind of like, what is happening? Yeah. So I think that was kind of an issue for me. But I don't know. Yeah.
It was a little out there. It was a little, like, didn't really go with the book, like you said. Like, it didn't really fit with the vibe.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
But it made them live together and then they got it on.
Yeah. I mean, whatever like forces them together, I guess I'll accept it because I mean, there's nothing better than a bit of like forced proximity.
Yeah.
Like, enemies that they're enemies because they had this like bullying situation when they were children and now they have to live together. Oh no, what's going to happen?
Yeah. How could we ever know?
A lot of spice, that's what happens.
Yeah, a lot of spice. That's what happens when you live in the same house.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, this was a good spicy book.
It was good spicy book.
Yeah.
It's like got more spice than what I would usually expect out of a rom-com, and mm-hmm. I appreciated that.
Yeah. And they were like well written.
They were well written.
Yeah. Yeah. They were long too.
They were long, not too like no cringy moments. Mm-hmm. Like I liked them all.
Yeah. There's like one of you mentioned like before we even started like airing.
The couch scene.
Yes, the couch scene. Yeah. Definitely can't describe it the way you did.
No,
but
no.
Yeah, it was good. Creative.
Yes, it was creative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always like creativity in people's face. Mm-hmm. And like I feel like this is where I differ from a lot of people. So last week or like leading up to Fun Drive because our theme was like Harlequin romance novels. Mm-hmm. So then I was talking to different people about like what is like smut, like spicy books. And this is also something I differ with people on Book Talk because mm-hmm. then people would like list like a smut book and I'd be like, what? Like people, I'm trying to think like book lovers, like any Emily Henry book when people are like, oh,
smut.
These are spicy. And I'm like,
no, they're not.
I'm sorry. Excuse me, sir.
Like Book Talk marketed like the love hypothesis as spicy.
Yes.
No.
Or like Red, White, and Royal Blue. No.
No.
Those no. Aren't. First of all, they're adults, which is, I think, a problem because a lot of people market it as like a YA book. So then they're like, oh, it's spicy. And I'm like, it's not.
Not.
Literally not. Like, I tried to explain to someone that, like, if you want, like, smut, the definition of smut is when the plot is secondary.
Yes. Yeah.
To the spice. Like, the
or
spice
is
first.
Erotica?
Maybe that's erotica. That's true.
I
so maybe
like
smut is, like, they're even.
My kind of, like, I know everybody, like you said, differs on this. But, like, for me, it's, like, if the spice is above the, like, if you can't have the book without the spice, that's erotica. If the spice and the plot are equal, that's smut. If the plot is, like, more than the spice, that's, like, a romance novel.
Yeah.
That's kind of,
that's
like,
true, yeah. I think I just hate the word erotica. It makes me uncomfortable.
It definitely, like, erotica gives, like 50-year-old woman in her silk robe yeah. reading by herself with a glass of wine
which,
vibe.
Like,
with, like,
no
a bodice
diss.
Ripper cover.
I would love to do
no,
that.
No, that sounds fun.
Like,
that
I
sounds
want
great.
A silk robe so bad.
And, a, like, a glass of wine. Like, yeah. That sounds like a great mm-hmm. Saturday. I mean, that sounds like a Saturday night to me. But,
yeah.
But I see what you're saying. It's very, erotica seems like a very dated.
Yeah, I think, like, so I think that's why I tend to, like, think of smut as erotica as like even in my head. I think
which
just because most people don't use the term erotic mm-hmm. but I definitely when you lay out your definitions I agree like yeah. erotic is like full spice
yeah like you can't have the book
smut
it would
is
be like five
even.
Pages
yeah yeah there would be like the plot is five pages
yeah, yeah.
It's actually pointless
yeah
it's like no one cares about the plot
literally. Like you can't have the book without the spice that makes
yeah.
zero sense
yeah
that would be like erotica to me but then like yeah equal smut to plot like You probably could have the book without the smut, but it wouldn't be as good. Like,
yeah.
It wouldn't make sense.
Like, that's not why we're reading it.
And, like, the smut in smut, like, moves the plot along.
Yeah.
And, like, that's kind of how I see it.
Yeah, like it's character development.
It is. It literally is. There's some very romantic and emotional moments that come out of those scenes that like really moves the relationships forward.
Yeah. So without them, it just like wouldn't make sense. Yeah. But anyways, it's like I get a little not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed anymore. Mm-hmm. Like TikTok mm-hmm. has made me so unembarrassed of the things that I read. I will show anyone my Kindle Limited. I'm like, I don't care.
Me neither.
If you're going to judge me, that's your problem. That's not mine.
I like openly talk about smut to like over 2,000 people on my Instagram account now. Like it is what it is. I just like there's so many women on there that like my following is like 99% women. So.
Yeah.
We're just chilling.
It's fine.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, but it just, like, cracks me up because every time, like, yeah, someone will mention, like, the Love Hypothesis or, like, some, like, book that they read and I'm like, no, I'm sorry, no. Like, even this book, like, no. Yeah. So whenever, like, book talkers, and there's so many book talkers that will, like, rate books as, like, five chili peppers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's no way that's a my chili pepper.
Oh, God. It takes a lot to get five chili peppers for my ratings.
Yeah. No, it's got to be like.
And we can't discuss that on air. What makes five chili peppers is like not allowed to be talked about.
Yeah. I'm going to say most of my five chili peppers involve more than two people.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. That's like where you hit your.
Yeah.
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 And all around.
All at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like other aspects.
And like multiple chapters.
Multiple chapters.
Multiple POVs.
Different objects and things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Things that shouldn't necessarily be involved are involved.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
I think
the
a
five.
Lot of like dark romances too can like fall into five. Like.
Yeah. Honestly, I think dark romances more easily fall into five for me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I find like. When it comes to like book talk, I think it just has like a younger readership and viewership on book talk as opposed to Bookstagram. I'm not on book talk. My sister is, and she like really finds a lot of recommendations through that way, which is great. But like, I find that like I connect a lot with like older people on Bookstagram, and I'm a bit older. So, I don't know. Maybe it's just like a little bit of an age difference as far as like what they see as like spicy. Or maybe I've just been like, reading some really depraved stuff lately. Who knows?
Honestly, if you're on Kindle Unlimited, you have.
It's a black hole.
Yeah, it's a never ending. All right, we're going to take another very quick break. And when we get back, I don't know what we're going to, maybe we're going to talk about some more quotes.
Okay.
I know we have some more quotes.
Yeah, we do have quotes.
So let's do that. That sounds fun.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam speaking Musqueam people.
CITR is powered by Guayaki Yerba Mate. Yerba Mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaki Mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaki is more than just a yerba mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of yerba mate. Visit guayaki.com, GUAYAKI.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free yerba mate can.
You want to change the state of the world, but instead you keep buying material goods to satisfy whatever desire you have in that very moment? Me too. But now you can do both! Rock Shop and Community Thrift is a local vintage shop that fulfills your 1970s alt-chic fantasy while also supporting at-risk people through their compassionate and supportive work training program. All of their profits go to the PHS Community Services Society to support ongoing healthcare, harm reduction, and health promotion projects in Vancouver and Victoria. So stop by their two locations, Community Unisex on West Hastings or Community Frock Shop on Corral Street. And if you know any other local businesses that deserve recognition for their generous business practices or their contributions to the community, please DM us on Instagram at CITR and Discorder, because we would love to spotlight them. Because hey, if you can't stop buying, you might as well start supporting.
Feeling lost in the lonely, meaningless cyber web? Looking to connect with other users? Then plug in to a CITR collective. Meet users who are compatible with your interests and passions. CITR's mainframe offers 9 unique collectives: news, arts, accessibility, sports, persons of color, indigenous, gender empowerment, LGBTQ2SIA+, and music affairs. CITR collectives are where you can make great radio, great friends, and avoid the abject loneliness of life in the cyber void.
Loneliness.
We don't need to tell you that Vancouver has a housing problem.
Mass evictions.
Mass rent evictions.
Unfair rent increases.
What happened to rent control and protection from unfair eviction?
If these or other housing matters concern you, you may be interested in joining the Vancouver Tenants Union. For more information, visit tenantsunion.ca.
All right. Hello and welcome back to Dog Eared Radio Book Club on CITR 101.9 FM. I'm Randy, your host, and I'm joined in studio today by Amanda.
Hello.
From at Cracking Spines on Instagram. Little plug
you
for
like
you
romance.
There.
Thank you.
Yeah. Give her a follow. It's cool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I should, not that I don't look at your posts. I hope you don't think that I do.
Excuse me? No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, I was like, oh, I wonder what, well, because I think also you like started talking about like what you were reading. I don't know if it was like when I was like looking at the story, because maybe I think it's because you posted about the episode
you.
Today.
Yeah, I probably tagged you in
and
something.
And then, yeah, and then I was like
I do
looking
talk
at your
the
stories.
A lot.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, you're reading Powerless, which is like a series we were talking
yes.
about. Also, like before we started this episode. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Marrying Mr. Wrong by Claire Kingsley. And we're going to talk about like the opening chapter for this book, because the opening chapter for this book is wild. So we mentioned at the top of the episode that like it's made very apparent that Sophie is like quirky. She's funny. She gets herself in these messy situations.
A Sophie mess.
Yeah, Sophie mess. Yeah. And it is very well put, like, shown to you, not even described. I think that's the part I like, just mm-hmm. shown to you that this is what happens. So I don't know if you want to read. Do you want to read the quote?
Am I allowed to?
I think so.
Okay.
There's no swears in it, right?
No. No. Except for.
That's fine.
Okay. So this is the first quote that I highlighted in this book is from Sophie's POV. She goes, "Oh my God, she brought me up here to do cocaine and have a threesome with her and her husband."
Yeah. So.
That is wild. And I highlighted
like,
that right away.
That's a wild sentence to just like read in a rom-com. But like truly what happens, so she's at this like benefit auction thing, and first of all, she forgets to wear underwear. And, you know, something that we all do
yeah.
when we're wearing
there,
a short
like,
dress.
Yeah.
Like that's
like
something
a short,
we all
flippy
do.
Dress.
Yeah. And then this doctor that she went on a date with that's, like, really creepy.
Dr. Hansi.
Is there. Dr. Hansi. So he, like, starts to follow her. So then this woman helps her escape to hide in the bathroom. But then the doctor won't leave. So she ends up going to this woman's hotel room, you know, assumingly to, like, get away and wait for this guy to leave. And then
have
she can leave.
Have a glass of wine.
And then, but her husband is up in the hotel room. And then they proceed to offer her illicit substances and some smexy times. And she's like, I'm sorry, excuse me, no. So she locks herself in the bedroom of the hotel room.
Wait. I just want to back up 1 second. Is before, instead of just saying no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
She backs up and falls on the coffee table and proceeds to flip the table or flip the, like,
oh, the tray,
the
yeah.
tray of illicit substances in the air.
So it's just like powder of white stuff everywhere.
And then she plugs her nose and backs up and locks herself into the bedroom.
Okay, yeah. So once she's there, she's like, I gotta get out of here. Fair point. I would want to get out of there too. So she's like, I'm going to, because she's only on the second floor. So she's like, I'm gonna tie together these bed sheets and escape off the balcony. So that's what she proceeds to do. But she gets stuck halfway down. And who should appear but the male main character of the book, Camden Cox. And then obviously,
who not only helps her get down, but gets a nice view up her flippy skirt because she forgot to wear underwear.
Yeah.
So. That's how these two meet. I would say it's a pretty hilarious, like, that's a good meet cute.
Honestly,
I like that.
Yeah.
I thought it was, like, super funny.
Yeah. I feel, and like, I did make a note that, like, the first chapter of this book is what drew me into this book. Like, it was just so entertaining and just like antics. Like, I think that's like in like a rom-com that you want to be funny, you have to have antics.
Yeah.
And that's what that first chapter, like, it's because like it is so obviously not realistic and like, but it's like so entertaining.
It was hilarious. I could picture it in my mind so well. Like, it would be hilarious if I was watching it in a movie. Yeah. Like, it was just super funny.
Yeah. And it was, it was like very like lively, like, like well described. Yeah. You could definitely, like, even now I could picture in my head as like a movie scene. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you would be laughing.
Laugh,
you would laugh so much because it's just like, you can just like picture her like hanging on the balcony and this guy like walks up and she's like, oh no.
He goes, whoa.
Yeah. So I thought that was funny. But yeah, that quote is just like, it's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, don't go. Honestly, that would be like my worst nightmare. I feel like I'd panic and call the cops.
It sounds horrible.
I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds horrible.
And it's like completely fine. Like, if you want to do that, but like, no. Like, but I don't want to.
Don't like lock me. Like, give me a heads up before you come and bring me up to you and your husband's hotel room.
And the husband even says, like, oh, did you tell her? And the wife's like, no, I wanted you to meet her first. And I was like, no.
No.
You should definitely. Like, I've had people ask me and then I just say no.
Yeah. Like, and hey, I'm going to bring you up to my room. My husband's there waiting. Like, we've got all this stuff going on. Like, you want to go? At least give her a heads up first.
Yeah. Also, because she was in like a precarious, unsafe situation. She had this like creepy guy following her. Like,
he's like drugs.
Here,
in
I
the
thought
air,
you were doing like solidarity, you know, women's protection, and you're actually just like luring her to like a more
to, like,
uncomfortable
a different,
situation,
creepy situation.
Yeah. Poor Sophie. Honestly, and I think that like I just feel bad for her. Like,
she's,
and I think that's why it like led to me liking her, because I was like, you don't even try to get yourself in these situations.
Like, it is a Sophie mess. Like, why do these things happen to you?
I mean, you could wear underwear.
And maybe like flat shoes, since you can't seem to walk on a flat surface.
Yeah. Like, stop wearing heels. Like, just wear flats.
Yeah.
Okay. So another quote that I have is after, I think this is actually really cute. It would make me deeply uncomfortable, but in the context of the book, it's really cute and funny. So when she, like, when they get back from Vegas, so they're married now, and she is at her office working for Mr. Calloway, mm-hmm. I think.
Okay.
And Cox sends her a gift. And the gift is this very luxurious lingerie set. And I think that's funny because it's like, I think it's supposed to be like a callback to the fact that she wasn't wearing underwear the first time they met. Mm-hmm. And like,
and she left her bra
in
the hotel room.
She left her bra in the hotel room like after they woke up. So I think it's just like a very funny, like, I don't know. It's like a humorous gift.
Again, in
real life, no way.
And like, not at my place of work.
But in the context of a book, it is so funny.
Yeah.
But, and so the quote that I have is when like she wears it to like their meeting. Like when she, like when they end up, I don't know how many days it is after that, but she's like, I'm not going to wear it. Like, I'm not going to like, and then she like tries it on. She's like, this is so nice. And then she ends up wearing it like the same day that she has to go to his, office, like for a meeting with her boss, Mr. Calloway or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I have this quote that I think is just like, to me, it was just like, I think I squealed because it was like such like a, not cute, but like a very like, I don't explain it. But you know those scenes like where the man is like, you know, supposed to be like bravo? No. Would it be like bravo or like gravitas? I don't know what the word would be.
Mm.
But like very like cares, like smooth.
Okay. I need to hear the quote
smooth.
First.
Okay, I'll also read the quote. He chuckled softly. Oh, wait. No, this is the right quote. I'm sorry. He chuckled softly. Of course you are. I love that you wore them for me. I didn't wear them for you. I didn't even know I was coming here. He just smiled. I'm serious. I didn't know I'd see you today. Okay. Also, I really, 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 so forgive me. But I think, like, in the context of reading it, again, please don't picture my voice reading it. That's so bad. I could never narrate audiobooks. No, I would neither. Be so bad at, like, the sexy parts, like, the, like, smut parts. I would be, like, so bad at reading them. But if you, like, read it the way it's written, it's, like, very just, like, ooh.
Very smooth.
Yeah, like, very smooth. And I like the back and forth because you can tell, like, she's, like, kind of embarrassed but also like turned on and she's like yeah, like I don't know, I feel
swear
like
I did it.
And I think it also just like to me that was like their chemistry, mm-hmm. like that was like a scene that like highlighted the chemistry between these two characters, which obviously in a rom-com is important to mm-hmm. have that,
and like a bit of the banter we love. Yeah, we love banter exactly. in a romance, so I like that they had a little bit of like yeah. the back and forth.
Yeah, so please excuse my terrible reading of it.
It sounded better in our heads.
Yeah. It did sound so much better. I don't even know why I bothered to read it because it sounded so much better in my head. Yeah. I feel, yeah. That's why I can't read to like audio, listen to audiobook, an audiobook for this book. I could not have done it. Like, I would have died. Like, every line. Because again, it just sounds so obnoxious when he says things out loud. Mm-hmm. Like, if you would read it out loud, you'd be like, this guy is such an a-hole.
Yeah, right.
Like, that would be like an a-hole move. It's totally. Like, you don't know what she's doing. You don't know what she's wearing.
Yeah. How do you even know she's wearing it?
Yeah. But I feel like, again, when you're reading it in the book, it sounds really good.
I agree.
Yeah.
And it just like, I don't know. It really, like, elevates his appeal because of how, like, smooth he is.
Yeah. He's a smooth man.
He is.
I mean, obviously, all male heroes are smooth.
But... Well, they're written by women, so.
Yeah, of course they're smooth. And they know exactly what women are thinking, except when they're not supposed to, and then they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the ending. So let's talk about this, like, side plot, evil Althea.
Oh, Althea. Yeah, the evil villain.
Dominic, you know, like this whole
like, typically don't love like the evil other woman kind of trope. I get very, especially if it's like an ex-girlfriend or something. Althea is the lawyer for context, so it's not an ex-girlfriend. I typically don't like the evil other woman trope, but I think the author did a great job of it in this book, and I thought Althea was a great villain, and I thought like that as the conflict was like done well.
Yeah.
And I like, obviously the reader saw it coming. Like,
yeah.
The idiot here is Cox, not anybody else. We all saw it coming. Like, she was so obviously an evil person.
Yeah.
But yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely agree because I think, like, obviously, like, when you bring in, like, the evil other woman, ex-girlfriend, like, it can become so misogynistic so quickly. And, like, I'm not going to say, like, this is perfect because every romance book has, like, a little sprinkling of misogyny somewhere. Like, it's you know, it's in our world. It's hard to, like, get out, right? But I feel I agree with you. Like, this is done so much better than mm-hmm. a lot of books. Like, it doesn't draw on her. I will say it is kind of unclear if, like, she does like Cox. Like, that part confuses me if she is, like, harboring
feelings. Yeah, because she's, like, newly divorced. They've been working together for a while. She seems like she has, like, because she also...
Well, she's, like, so upset that he's married.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she not only, like, tried to take over his company, but she also, like, tried to sabotage their relationship.
Yeah.
By, like, pinning this, like, theft of his money on Sophie.
Yeah.
And so it's, like, why did you do that? And, like, the explanation is because she's, like, because you getting married was a stupid idea. It's, like, that was it? You just, like... Yeah. You, like, made this girl out to be a thief because you thought their marriage was stupid?
Yeah.
So that was...
Yeah. So yeah. It does seem like there's, like, an underlying problem that's, like, not...
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, whether she's, like, harboring feelings or something. But, yeah. I did think it was interesting. And, like you said, like, the reader, it was so obvious to the reader. Like, especially, like, once Sophie caught on, like, there was a scene where, like, Sophie sees... Althea meeting with Dominic, then as the reader, like, oh yeah,
of course, right there, like,
yeah, and
this
then
is gonna be the conflict.
And freaking Cox is just like, I don't know what's going on. Like,
I've known her for 7 years.
She's so nice to me.
Yeah, yeah.
And Sophie's like, she's so mean. And Oliver's like, she's the devil. Like, but Cox is like, no, she's just a harsh corporate lawyer.
Yeah. It's okay that she cuts corners and does illegal things sometimes. She does things right.
Yeah. Yeah. And she benefits my business.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I feel, yeah, that like was done well. I will say I think Cox should have had to beg more to be paid back, because here's the thing, there is no way. And I will say I like how like quick the scene was, mm-hmm. where like how quickly he realized he was wrong, like she didn't leave,
yeah.
and then he realized, like I like that he still realized when she was there, mm-hmm. and so basically what happens for readers is, so Althea takes money out of Cox's accounts and pays Sophie's student loans and credit card debt. Or I don't know what debt. Anyways, pays all of her debt off. So it looks like, yeah. So it looks like she stole money from Cox and used it to pay off. So then he confronts Sophie about it, and Sophie denies it because, of course, she didn't do it. and then Cox is like, I don't believe you. Like, there's all this proof. Althea told me. And then, yeah, Sophie, rightfully so, is like, how could you possibly believe her over me? Like, I thought you're supposed to love me. I'm your wife. Like, what is this? And then she's, like, super hurt, and she's like, hey, well, I'm going to leave, because Cox tells her to leave in, like, the most horrific way. He's like, get out. Get all of your stuff out. And, like, said more harshly, because I can't even say what he said on air.
Yeah.
But, like, so intense. And then she's like, well, I'm not going to be as bad as you, so I'm going to tell you, like, what I have. Mm-hmm. So then Sophie gives Cox the proof that Dominic and Althea are working together.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as he gets that proof, then he realizes that Althea was trying to tear them apart, and he screwed up. And then he, like, starts to say, I'm sorry, and Sophie's like, no, and she leaves.
Which, good honor.
Yeah.
Because he was an a-hole, again.
Like, there is absolutely, yeah. I almost, like, so this is where I'm at. Like, I'm fine with the book ending like this. It mm-hmm. obviously followed the format of, like, the 30-70 breakup thing. Like, you know, like, yeah, it's fine. But I think this book might have been, like, a bit cooler and maybe fit more if we were to rewrite it. What happened is they both went into the situation wanting to confront each other. So Sophie came in wanting to confront him about Althea being evil. And Cox came in the situation wanting to confront Sophie about the money. And so maybe the same thing, he went first, but maybe he didn't do it so freaking harshly. Like, there was still this, like, thing in the back of his mind that's like, no, I can't believe she'd do that.
And like, then, instead of, like, believing Althea right off the bat, if he just, like, said, hey, this is what Althea told me. What can you tell me about this?
Yeah. And then he would have, like, we still could have had, like, the doubt, like, where he recalls, like, the different, like, mm-hmm. oh, maybe she did marry for mm-hmm. my money. But then as soon as they get together, you're like, no, like, they love each other, like, they're trusted. Anyways, and then they work together to somehow have to take down Althea and Dominic. Mm. I think that actually would have been so satisfying.
I like that.
And it could have pulled together so many plot points, because we saw that, like, Dominic had, like, previously met Sophia mm-hmm. and liked her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, but didn't recognize her when she went into the, like, she was in the office with Mr. Calloway. So
yeah.
I feel like there could have been this, like, cool little, like, you know, maybe they, like, fought a little bit, but it was more equal. And then at the end, they realize, they, like, they're both wrong, and they work together.
Because it certainly was,
there was,
like,
no, like, breakup.
Yeah, like, it definitely was, like, a bit anticlimactic when he realized that he was wrong. Because he basically just, like, walked in the office and was like, grab your things and get out. And then, like, got a guard to escort her out. So it was very much like, he fired her, she left, and, like, that was the conflict. That was it. It was over.
Yeah.
So I like that. I like that they could have, like, become, like, a super couple and, like, fought the evil together and, like, the that would have been good.
I think that, like, because I honestly don't mind the, like, 70, like, the three-quarter breakup, whatever you want to label it.
Yeah.
Like, but I think in this book, it just, because it was so, like, even the breakup was pretty anticlimactic. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously, it was, like, super intense. I was, like, heartbroken. I was like, how dare you say that to her?
I know.
But then because of that, I feel like the groveling wasn't enough for me.
It wasn't enough. It was, like, it was just,
you bought her a beautiful house. That's great. Yeah. But, like, you literally thought she stole your money. Like, how do you come back from that, dude?
Well, and how does that not, like, harbor a little bit more of insecurity that, like, you think that you're, like that you think that your new husband now thinks that, like, you're only with him for his money?
Yeah.
So I don't think that he, like, banished that feeling well enough. Like I said, I like a grovel, so I don't think it was enough.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, so that's why I always like to rewrite the ending of books, because obviously I'm not going to, but like, and I'm never going to write a book, but like, I do think that could have like improved it just like a little bit.
I agree.
If like it, because I think also then that would have brought forth a lot more plot lines. Like it could have like made the Althea Dominic plot line more, whereas he's like, oh, Dominic was arrested and is back in rehab. It's like, okay.
Yes.
But I feel like if they would have like had to like somehow like work together to get like catch them together. And they could have also, like, I feel like that could have been, like, a cool moment for them to, like, you know, realize, like, they still loved each other. And, like, in that moment, they could have had this, like, discussion and, like, talked. Because, like, yeah, like, in some books, like, the breakup makes sense. Like, it really does. And totally. I think it, like, makes the characters grow more. Especially if it's, like, a mutual breakup. Like, if they both think the other did something, or they both think, like, they did something, or like whatever
it
is,
some kind of like real conflict that comes in.
Whereas like I feel like her, like him just accusing her of stealing money and then just nothing ever coming from that,
like that's bad. Like you just like, accused your wife
that's intense.
Of being a thief.
Yeah, like this, I get that you've worked with Althea for like how many years, but you say that you love this woman and you're not even going to believe her when she like tell, and she hasn't lied to you ever before. Like it would have been different again in the book if she had like previously lied to him. And I get like she technically didn't disclose her financial situation, but like, are you dumb? Are you dumb? Why do you think she lives in that apartment?
Yeah.
Like it's so obvious. Like,
and why do you think that she needs you to buy her dad a house? Like her and her father are obviously not well off.
Yeah. Yeah. So I feel like that was just like, that's how I would rewrite it. But I don't think Claire Kingsley did a bad job.
No, no. Like, we're talking about rewriting it, but we're not saying it's a bad book because I loved it. I was very entertained. I thought it was funny. Like, that was like a 4 out of 5 stars for me. Yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
But I like your ending a little bit better.
Yeah. It is. Well, it is just, I mean, hindsight, what is it?
Hindsight's
2020. 2020. Yeah. Like,
whatever that saying is.
Obviously, now you've read it, you're like, oh, yeah, this could be improved.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I agree. I think I do think it's just like, it's such a just like cheerful short read.
Totally. Yeah.
You
good,
know,
like good humor. And when it comes to rom-coms, like I have a gripe with rom-coms sometimes, like I've mentioned a few times now. When it comes to rom-coms and you want something that's like funny and well-written and not going to like piss you off, then this was a good one. I definitely would recommend it for like a fun, entertaining rom-com for sure.
Yeah, it doesn't require you to, like, overthink anything.
No.
So.
Yeah. We did a bit of overthinking, but you don't have to.
That's what the show's for.
Yeah. We dissected it. You don't have to. You can enjoy it.
That's one of the problems. Like, if you don't, if you, like, you can't underthink it if you want to talk about it for over an hour. Like, it makes it so much harder because then you're like, oh, wait, actually, like, I have nothing to say. But I find, like, the beauty of it is, like, you'll always find things.
Oh, yes.
And, like, yeah, like, I agree with you. This is, like, a 4 out of 5 star for me. Like, it is just, it's so cute.
It's
like,
super
it's
cute.
So fun.
Super entertaining.
There's no, like, obviously, like, if you're actually critically analyzing it, there's, like, a million problems wrong with it.
And
but
that's, like,
we're
any,
not doing it.
And that's, like, any book. Like, I find that anytime I, like, read a book with, like, a friend or my sister or something, we'll talk about it afterwards. I'm like, wow, I loved that book. And then we talk about it, and I'm like, okay, well, this was wrong with it. It's like, you get into a really deep conversation about all the ways that it sucked. This book did not suck.
No.
We loved it.
Yeah.
But there was also, you know, if you think deeply about it.
Yeah. That's the problem with thinking deeply. I was actually, because my friend and I were both GRSJ majors, and we were talking about how like the problem is you start to like overanalyze every piece of media. And I think that's why I'm so attached to romance novels. Like I read other, like I read nonfiction, I read like some science fiction, like fantasy, but like I usually read like romance novels, and like the smuttier the better. I don't want to think at all.
That's the
when
point.
I'm reading.
Yeah.
Like,
and
it's
like pure escapism into like this like super fun world where it has a guaranteed happy ending. So like all my anxious girls out there, if you want to read something, you read romance. Because you know it's going to end happily.
Yeah. Like if anything like mildly bad happens, it'll be resolved.
Yeah.
Like that's fine. And like I was explaining to like, I think, you know, the appeal, because like when people are like, oh, you read like, you know, like, do you ever, have you ever read Omegaverse novels?
I have not. I think I'm accidentally reading one right now on audiobook. I've only heard about them, but
yeah. They're an interesting world.
Yeah.
But I said, like, one of the... But just, this is, like, all romance novels. Like, the appeal is having someone care for you.
Yeah.
Like, that's part of it, right? Like, this character, no matter who it is, gender, whatever, like, mm-hmm. they're going through life. They're probably having a crappy go of it. And then someone comes along and cares for them.
Yeah.
And we're all human. What do you want more in life?
I mean, it's escapism at someone, its finest.
Yeah, to, like, come along and care for you. So, yeah, I think that's why, like, you know, I love to critically analyze media, but sometimes I just want to turn my brain off.
Yeah.
And what better way to turn off your brain than reading?
Than reading romance.
Tentacle.
Yes.
Tentacle porn. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of our episode. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
Yeah, I hope you'll be back in the future.
I hope we can do it again, absolutely.
Yeah, I got talked into doing, like, a serious season, because last season we did science fiction, mm-hmm. and that was the hardest 2 months of my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just kidding, not really, but a little bit.
I find it, like, I would find it difficult to read a book that I'm, like, not loving the genre of, for sure.
Yeah, and it definitely makes it hard, because then I just, like, come on the show and I bash it. And then I feel bad because the guest is like, this is my favorite book. And I'm like, this is the worst book I've ever met. But yeah, no, this is definitely not the worst book. I definitely recommend this book.
Me,
like,
too.
If you're looking for, like, a super, like I said, this is, like, the perfect book for Valentine's mm-hmm. Day because it's so romantic.
It was, yeah.
Yeah, and often we run into these problems where, like, we'll read a romance novel on the show and then we'll be like, what was the most romantic part? And then we're like, wait, was any of it actually romantic? Like, I get that they love each other, but, like, was it romantic?
This
is definitely
super romantic. Yeah. He did a lot of, like, romantic grand gestures that weren't cringy or over the top, and it was just, like, very nice.
Yeah. The balance is good.
It was. Good. I agree.
Okay. So I guess, where can people find you?
I am on Instagram.
Amazing.
You can find me at cracking.spines. If you like romance recommendations, I review them, I talk about them, and there's no censoring on Instagram. So
yeah, you can get all the nitty-gritty dirt.
All the nitty-gritty.
Yeah.
We get into it.
That so. I can't give you on my family evening, non-after-hours. I think we need to do more dog-eared after dark episodes.
Dog-eared after dark, you can count me in. I will be there.
Talk about some of those nice monster romance novels you've been reading.
Those five Chili Pepper novels.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. I should have an episode, Five Chili Peppers After Dark.
You should do a whole dog-eared after dark season.
I'll have to talk to Jasper about getting a later time.
Yeah.
No, I think that'd be super fun. Yeah, well, once again, thank you so much for coming
on. Thank you so much for
having
me.
This was great. I had a great time. Really enjoyed this book. But yeah, I hope all of the listeners are having a good Valentine's Day. I hope you ditched all your hot dates to listen to this, because clearly this is a funner time.
I know my family did.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, my family did too, but they don't have any hot dates. So. All right. Okay. Well, I'm going to leave all of you to the rest of your Tuesday evening, and I'll see you in a couple of weeks for Brutal Vows, which is a mafia book. So I hope you're all ready. I don't know if it's quite Five Chili Peppers, but it's getting up there.
What is this?
CITR 101.9 FM.